Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bridge City Church, Murraysville. How many of you recognize that song? Okay, about half the room. Anybody in the Focus Generation is what we say here. Focus and Fire Generation. I've been singing that all week, just listening to that, getting it in me. It's such a joy. We're kicking off a new series. They will know we are Christians by our love. And before we jump into the message, I do want to just give you an update. I'm Pastor Eric. Pastor Rick, who is our lead pastor, we're one church in four locations. He's been ministering at the other campuses the last couple weeks. And actually, this Sunday, right now, he's at a church in Mississippi, ministering to them, caring for them, helping them grow and get better. And actually, my wife and I, as well as Heather, our campus administrator, are going to be joining him tomorrow morning. We're going to be flying down to Mississippi for a leadership conference, get an opportunity to share there this week. But he wanted to make sure I let you know where he's at. He didn't just disappear on us all. He's been doing God's work all over in different locations. So he will be joining us next Sunday, planning to bring the word next week. So he definitely misses being here. He says there's no place like home, and he means it very, very much so. But we love to build the church. We love what God loves. We love his bride. And, you know, we're doing this series all about love, and really giving some biblical definition to what love really is. What does the Bible say love is? What does God say love is? And understanding that primary our text is going to be found in 1 Corinthians 13, right between 12 and 14, which we'll get to that. 1 Corinthians 13. The world, though, wants to define love as feelings or emotions, right? It's how you feel in the natural defines how much love you have. Where it's quite different than that, where the reality is there is an absence of love in our culture. We have a lot of counterfeit love, a lot of different things that portray themselves as love. But as we go each week, you're going to get to see a bigger picture of what love is. We're going to paint a better picture for you so that you can define and share what God says love really is. So we're going to be looking through this. And just like several of our messages, if you were here a few weeks ago, a message on forgiveness, it's something you got to have before you can give it. Right? How many of you know you can only give away what you have? I can't give away your money to somebody else, right? I can only give away what I have myself. And with God's forgiveness, we got to have it before we can give it. With love, it's the same way. To really give love, God's love, we must receive his love first. So our launching verse, jumping in, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And to put a little picture of where this is at, in the Bible, in history, Jesus is at the Last Supper with his disciples. He washes the disciples' feet. He says how one of you is going to betray me. Judas departs to go betray him so that Jesus is going to be arrested. So Jesus is, he's at this point where he knows his time is coming. And one of the last things he says before this is he says, well, my time here with you is very short. And I'm going to a place where you can't come. And he's like, I want to give you everything else I haven't shared so far. He starts listing all these things out and teaching his disciples. And one of them he says right here, he says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. See, Jesus wanted to make sure, not only did he tell them he loved them, he demonstrated it through his actions. Right? Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He served them. He came to serve, not to be served. And he demonstrated, and he tells the disciples, this is a new commandment I'm giving you. And he wasn't saying, like, this is this new idea. You've never heard this before. But in the way that he gave it to them was a fresh way. I'm giving you a fresh commandment, a new commandment to follow. To put this up with all the other commandments, I want you to follow, to love one another. Why? So that the world can see that you are my disciples. There's a point to us being Christians. It's not just to have a good Sunday morning and feel good and encourage one another, and all that's good and all that's important, but it's meant to be so that the world can see God's love through us, that they will know we are Christians by our love, and hopefully that draws them closer to God and closer so that they would want to follow Jesus as well. But by definition, love, there's many different definitions, but this one we're using is a love by choice, not by chance. It's intentional. It's a decision. It's not based on happenstance or chance or luck or just because the stars aligned. It's not by chance. It's a choice. We choose to love. God chose to love us, to send his son for us. always seeking the highest good of the other person, no matter what he does. Should put he or she. I don't know why. Only focus on the he. It's a love no matter what. It's the highest good of the other person, no matter what the other person does. Right? It's unconditional. That's the unconditional love of God. It doesn't matter what they do, or even if they reject it, God still loves. He loves. It gives freely without asking or demanding anything in return. How many of you like that about God's love to us? That definition. He chose to love us. He's always seeking our highest good, even when we don't deserve it. Maybe especially when we don't deserve it. He gives freely without asking or demanding. He doesn't say, well, I'll love you as long as you do X, Y, and Z. He says, no, I'm going to just give you love. I'm going to love you every moment of every day of your entire life and for eternity. But with this, what do we do with this truth? What do we do with this reality? Well, I think it's important to note that we should be marked by God's love. Mark is a sign. When you have a mark on you, everybody should see that and know our lives are marked by God. We're marked by Jesus' love, and that people could say, well, I know they're a Christian. Not just because you're here on Sunday morning, but because the way we live our lives should be different than the rest of the world. We can be marked by one another. We can identify one another. I love one of my favorite things with the Chosen series. Anybody watch the Chosen or seen that? Where they see each other, and I mean, this is, I don't know if it's historical, but I like it in the movie, where the guys, when they see each other, they draw a thing on the sand, like the swoop, the arch. Then when the other person comes, they connect the other swoop, and it makes a fish. It was like their way of showing that you're a follower of Jesus. You're part of the way. It's like there should be a mark on our lives that we know one another are Christians. But then also the third mark is that the world should know that we are Christians by our love for one another. Why don't you get angry? Why aren't you cursing? Why don't you participate in all the stuff that everybody else at work participates in? How come you're not getting drunk and doing stupid stuff after work like everyone else does? Like, those are questions that people should be asking us that identify we're different. Then the more we talk about, I just praise God. Man, when I'm in the midst of troubles, I just praise God. When somebody's sharing something that's problem for them, a challenge, a health diagnosis, and you say, hey, do you mind if I just pray 30 seconds with you right now? That's an identifier that marks us as different. We should be marked by the world that we are followers of Jesus. They should know. Not because of our bumper stickers, but because the way we live our lives. Jesus defines the love we are to have for one another. He says it goes way beyond what makes us lovable. How many of you have a puppy? Have had a puppy? Dogs? I mean, how many of you know that's a lovable picture? That cute little dog. It's so lovable, right? And you look at this, you say, how could you not love? Even if you're allergic, I'm allergic to dogs. So I'm like, even though I'm allergic, I still love that little puppy. Like, I mean, I just want to hold him, and it's so cute. But then what happens when you take that thing home? And they pee on the carpet. And they want you to take them outside when it's 3 degrees out, or it's raining, or snowing. Or they chew your favorite pair of shoes. Oh boy, now we got to say, do you still love that puppy? Right? It goes beyond what makes them lovable to say, I'm going to love them even when they make messes. Even when they destroy stuff in our lives, things that we value, things that we care for. That's when true love really comes into play. And the same thing applies to us. We're not all that lovable. If you don't believe me, ask your neighbor if they think you're that lovable. No, you know, we know that there's things about us that make us unlovable, right? And if we just paint the picture of like, well, I'm only going to love you as long as you're like this cute little puppy and you don't make any messes and you never do anything that I don't want you to do, we're missing the bigger picture of what love really is. And our relationships with one another and God's love for us goes beyond just the good times, but it's found most often in the bad times, the hard times, the ugly times. That's when you really find out who truly loves you. You know, I got friends, I got close family that I know that they love me because we've gone through some stuff. It's easy to say I love everyone when everything's good. Wait till there's a hard time. Wait till there's one thing left, one piece of pie left. Then who really loves you, right? Are you going to give of what's left to them? The point of this, there should be an evidence of our love for one another. You can take the puppy picture down just because it's distracting. No. Thank you. for me, not for you guys. There should be an evidence of our love for one another, and this is something that God wants to refresh in us, because love never gets old. Love never gets old. I mean, I love hearing stories of people who've been married 50, 60 plus years, and it's just amazing to hear, like, that took love. That wasn't always lovable. That other person wasn't always lovable, right? How many of you have been married for several decades, right? And you know it wasn't always lovable, right? But there's things about us that should mark our lives. The world, even the world still recognizes, man, people have been, and you're at a wedding and they recognize people have been married over 30, 40 years. It's like, wow, that took commitment. That took covenant. That took real love to truly stay together that long and act like you enjoy it. We get to love Jesus. We get to love God. It's such a joy and a privilege to recognize the creator of the universe loved us so much, and all he wants in return is our love to him. He just wants us to love him, wants that relationship with him. But beyond just our personal relationship with him, we have relationships with one another. And love is necessary in Jesus' church. And in fact, that's why 1 Corinthians 13 was written. It's in the context of the church, the local church. It's right between chapters 12 and 14. Anybody write that down? You're not taking notes. Chapter 13 is right before, I'm joking. Right before, some of you are like, oh, I'm writing. Chapter 13 comes right before, right after chapter 12 and right before chapter 14. Well, what are those in those chapters? Chapter 12 is all about the spiritual gifts within the body of the church. And they're talking about how we are one body with many parts. That we all have spiritual gifts. He says, you have a spiritual gift. And your spiritual gift might be different than their gift, but we're supposed to work together. As one body has many parts, we work together. Then chapter 14, it's talking about how we have orderly worship within the church. Again, how our gifts function and we work together as the body of Christ. So 12 and 14 are all about how the body's supposed to operate, but then chapter 13 is right there. And what didn't happen is Paul's writing and he goes, oh, I need a good chapter, something for pastors to share at weddings. Oh, I'm going to put that right here. It didn't happen that way. Right? It wasn't like, oh, this is a really good place to put chapter 13, because then we can read it at weddings, we can feel good about ourselves, we can write a love poem to our spouse or significant other and use these verses. That's not what happened. In context, it's this chapter all about love is meant to be within Jesus' church, between one another. And when we do it the way we're supposed to do it, the world will see and recognize God's love in us and through us. So the last verse in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, says, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Paul just listed out all these different spiritual gifts, how we're all supposed to work together. He says, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Some translations say, I want to show you a more excellent way. The best way of life of all. He's not just saying that there's this thing you do on occasion or this event that takes place, but it's a way of life. Love, as much as it's an action, isn't just an event. It's a continual lifestyle by which we live our lives to demonstrate God's love to one another. It's the best way of all. Being a part of Jesus' church allows us to receive all the benefits of his love. How many of you want all the benefits? Right? When you have a job, you don't just want the paycheck once a week or every 2 weeks or whatever. I want to know if there's vacation time, is there sick time, what are the other benefits? Oh, I get mileage, I get perks, and I can take pens home from work. Nobody ever does that, right? Not on purpose. But you know, there's perks, there's benefits, there's things, and I want to know that I can get all the benefits for what I'm doing. Right? We don't want to leave benefits on the table, so to speak. And our relationships with one another. Man, I want to make sure we're getting the best of our relationship. Not just what I get, but what can I give as well? That there's a mutual benefit in this relationship. Well, being in Jesus' church, we get all of the benefits for what God has, for what he loves. You know the love of Jesus, who it is? It's his church. The Bible says that the church, and not just Bridge City Church, but the church, the big picture church, all around the globe, followers of him are called his bride. That he's coming back for his bride. How much, the picture of a bride is just, it's like that's the most loving day of your life, right? Like the bride and she's dressed perfectly, makeup and hair, everything's done perfect. And it's like, I tell couples on their wedding day, I pray you never love each other less than you do right now. Your wedding day, you should just grow in love from this day forward. I hope this is the day you love each other the least from this day forward. People are always like, what? Like, because we should grow in our love towards one another. Right? It's a demonstration in Jesus. He says, I'm going to build my church, and he's going to heaven to prepare a place for us, and he's getting us ready for his bride, which is us. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you have a relationship with God because of what Jesus has done, you're a part of the bride of Christ. I know it can be weird for guys to be like, I'm a bride. It's yes, you're going to receive all the things, all the benefits of God's love for his bride, for his church. It's a way of life meant within the context of the church. Paul continues. This is a letter written to the church in Corinth. Right after chapter 12, it's just a continuation. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Paul's writing, he says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. Paul's talking about all these spiritual gifts, all these, he just listed out all these things and things we should desire to have and things we should use, the spiritual gifts within the church. But he says, even if you could move mountains with your faith, even if you could prophesy and you understood all the deep things of God, being really, really spiritual, it means nothing without love. Without the heart of love, without that motive of saying, I want to use these gifts for love and out of love, it's just a lot of wasted energy and a lot of wasted gifts. It's so much more than just being spiritual or being the most spiritual person of all. Without love, we miss the main ingredient. It's like chicken noodle soup without the chicken. Just noodle soup, and nobody likes that, but I'm just kidding. But the idea that love is what holds us together. Love is what drives us. Love is what motivates us to do all the things that we're called to do. It's got to have that heart of love. Verse 3, he says, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Such a powerful passage of scripture here to help us recognize we can do a lot of really good things. We can do good deeds. We can feed the poor. We can help the homeless. We can go to mission trips. We can do all these amazing good things, and they're good, but without love, it's just empty and useless, and there's no eternal value to it. I'm not saying don't do good things, but make sure you do those things from a place of love. Because Paul said it, even if I sacrifice my body, I could boast about it. Look at me. Look at how much I'm doing. But without the heart of love, we gain nothing. The very best, you get a temporary benefit. I'm in the business of eternal benefits. Because God wants to give us eternal blessings, eternal benefits, things that are going to last the test of time. But love has to be so much more than just what we say. Right? We say, I love fill in the blank all the time. Right? I mean, say, I love the Steelers when they're winning. I love cheesecake. I love pizza. I love milkshakes, right? We say these things all the time. Like, I love, and part of it's our language, just in what we say and how we say it, because the English word for love is so broad and vague, but I want to help you understand different levels and different ways love can mean in the Greek. Now, Greek words, there's several different words for love. I love the Greek language. It's so much more encompassing than the English language. There's four words specifically we're going to look at that all mean, they're all translated from the Greek into English to say love. But the first one here is eros. It's an erotic love. It refers to sexual love, a physical love, an emotional longing or feeling. It's the only one of the words for love that's strictly found in the physical. Physical alone. It's conditional. It's a gratification of the self based merely on pleasure in the natural. Now, Eros in marriage is where it's intended for. Physical pleasure and serving one another is meant to be in marriage. But when done properly in marriage, it actually goes down to agape. When you're in a relationship, and we're going to unpack agape a little more, but not to paint the picture that all eros is bad. It's meant to be done in marriage to lead you to an agape kind of love. The storge, it refers to family love. Refers to a love of the family. This is between a parent and child, or between family members in general. This is where you love your spouse different than you love cheesecake. At least you should, just for those of you who don't know that. Right? There should be a difference. There's a different level of love here. Then you get to philia, which speaks of a brotherly friendship, partnership, and affection. This is, if you've heard of brotherly love, Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. It comes from this word, philia. It's the deepest level of love you can have without God's help. I can have a brother in Christ. I can have a love for another man with a philia kind of love, a friendship, a partnership, an affection towards somebody. And a lot of times we stop there and don't get to the true agape love. And every relationship can grow to become a type of God love. God love by choice, sacrificial giving, self-denial for the sake of another, gives without demanding, gives even when rejected. Used in the Bible, and the first two, eros and storge, are actually not found in the New Testament. I've had people say, well, it's not in the Bible, you can't use it. It's like, it's still Greek. It's still information. It's still truth. It's just because it's not in the Bible, there's a Greek language in it. It just paints a bigger, broader picture of what love is and how we can grow to become, have this love of agape. It's a self-giving love that gives without demanding or expecting repayment. It's a love that goes beyond being lovable, right? The puppy, when you're not so cute and cuddly anymore, that's the agape love, when you still love even when rejected. Even when we reject God, even while we are still sinners, the Bible says he still loved us. He still gave his son for us. It loves and gives because it wants to. It does not demand anything in return, but it does it to bless and help us. The word agape and true love and God love, what we're talking about, it has very little to do with emotion. It doesn't matter if we feel like it or not. We should love one another. We should love our spouse. We should love our kids. We should love one another whether we feel it or not. The world in which we live wants to define love as accepting everyone and everything, even those things that are far from God and his ways, and we must accept in order to love. The reality is God certainly does accept everyone. He loves everyone. He loves the whole world, and we are supposed to love them as well. But acceptance does not equal love, because withholding the best from you would not be very loving. God wants what's best for each and every one of you. And if he loved you enough to accept you but not want you to become better or give you what's best, that's not true love. Our culture has made love into a god rather than God, who is love. The big difference. Whenever we replace God with something else, take kindness. Kindness is really good. We should all be kind. But whenever kindness becomes the goal, we replace God with kindness. In our culture, love has become God, that you should love everything, you should love everyone, you should be love, and it's so close to the truth, but we've replaced God with love. Rather than strive and seek to know God, you will then have the love that comes from him. It's a flip maybe in your mind of helping us see we shouldn't strive for love, we should strive for God. Then love will follow, kindness will follow, joy will follow, peace will follow, and all the things that come with knowing God and living with him and experiencing him gives us when we have that relationship and are walking with him. This love does what's best for Jesus' church in context of 1 Corinthians. It's not self-serving, but it's a necessary element of our lives. How are we to demonstrate our love for one another? Well, it's not always easy and it's not convenient. Anybody say amen? How many of you know love is not always convenient? Love's not always easy. Love's not always cheap, right? There's enough songs, which I won't get into singing, about what love is and isn't. But the idea of love is hard at times. You know, Rachel and I are sharing this week at the conference, and as we reflected on what we're sharing on team building and being a part of a team. And as I reflect, I've realized over the years of what I've gotten to be a part of here at Bridge City Church is a team. And whether it's a team for an event or working with Pastor Rick or the other pastors and elders, this may be a shock to you, but we don't always get along, right? Because we're people. Pastor Rick and I always don't see eye to eye, but whether it's preference or just different experiences, we don't always get along, but we always choose unity. We always choose our love to mark us, that marks us, as our love for one another. Because we love one another and we love Jesus' church, we're going to move forward in unity. That's it. Every relationship can apply. Whether you like working with a person or not, we can say, I want to do what's best for Jesus' church. I want to seek the highest honor of the other person. And our relationship is so much stronger and so much more trustworthy because of the difficult times, because of the challenges, because of the problems we've had to face together. Any good marriage, anytime we draw close to God, when do you usually feel closest to God? In the hard times, right? Often we turn towards God when things don't look good. Same in relationships. We just love one another, especially in the hard times. And it will truly be a mark on our lives that we are truly Christians, that we truly have God's love. It's marked us, but then marking us for love for one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, "This is real love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. If you have a hard time loving other people, read this verse 10. This is real love, that God loved us so much that he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. How much should we love one another? Again, if you have a hard time forgiving somebody, remember, receiving God's forgiveness makes a way for us to extend forgiveness. Receiving God's love makes a way for us to love other people. Being around people, especially in the church at times, it's predicated on being inconvenienced, being offended or upset or not getting our way. It's okay because we're people. People are not perfect. We are not perfect. Maybe we should all say that. I am not perfect. Not say Eric's not perfect. Say, I am not perfect. Right? We're not perfect, though. And the reality is we're going to have disagreements. But we can still love one another in them and through them. If we do it just out of feeling, that's that eros. It's just the natural. It's I don't go to church because I feel like it, or I don't go to group because I feel like it all the time. It's because I love God and I love his people. In case you didn't know, today we're kicking off Connection Group Sunday. We're going to all sign up for a group. The groups are posted around the walls. They're on our website. There's cards. There's information. We want you to sign up for a group because that's how you can grow in your relationship with God and with one another. Before those practical ways, before we get to group signups, four practical ways that you can show love, demonstrate love in our lives and in our relationships. Here they are. First one's perspective. From God's point of view, he has a higher perspective than us. Would you all agree? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That God's perspective is so much bigger than our own. Right? We always see what we see in our through our lens. But when we come together in relationship and in groups, we have a different perspective from one another. Right? How so many different people can witness the same exact event and have very different perspectives of it. Right? If you've ever gone to a movie with somebody and they loved it and you didn't, right? There's a different perspective that happens. Yet alone, then God gets so much higher. In groups and in relationships, we share truth with one another. We read the Bible, God's truth. We share it with one another so we hear what we really need, not always what we want to hear. Perspective is what God's love is doing in us, and it's a motivator for our lives. The second thing, practical way you can show love is to challenge. Now, challenge is seeing potential and more in somebody. A challenge from a place of love isn't always a correction, but rather, I see more in you. I believe God has more in you. You're living below the best that God has for you, and I want to challenge you to rise up, to call up to what God has in store for you. the purpose and the plan and the gifting and the anointing and the grace that God has on your life, I believe there's more in you. That's a good challenge from a place of love. It's not always a correction or admonishment, but it's a challenge to move ahead, to have encouragement. You can do it. You're not alone, and I believe in you. Some of those powerful statements you can encourage somebody with. Maybe right after the challenge is, I believe there's more in you. And guess what? I'm going to help you take your next step. I'm going to walk with you. You can do it. You're not alone. There comes to encouragement. We can just encourage one another in life, in relationships, to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church. And the fourth thing is the next step in our growth. We all have a next step to take in our walk with God. To believe the best for the best and in the best in one another. This is the empowering kind of love that God wants for us. How many of you say, I can do one of those four things this week? Any of you? A couple of you? More of you? We can all do these things, right? These aren't that hard. Maybe you say, I can give somebody an encouraging word. That's part of showing God's love. And we work through those four steps. So much of our Christian culture, not just the worldly culture, our Christian culture has created a God that is much more enamored by us than we are of him. Right? We often in our Christian culture, I'm not just talking about Bridge City, but the church in general, the American Christian church, has made a God that's so much about me, rather than let's talk about him. Let's highlight him. I want to brag on him. And everything we do here at Bridge City Church is meant to point you to Jesus. To say, look at our God. We celebrate and we worship and we have passion and excitement in life because of him. Not because of how great we are, because of how great he is. He is so good. He is good. He is great. He is God. We should be so enamored by that. Infatuated and in love and affection towards God because of who he is. It's not about us. It doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter who's leading worship. We're all wanting to point you to Jesus. It's all about him. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's all about him. I want the world to see Jesus in and through me. How about you? I don't care what you think of how good I speak or how good I do anything. As long as you say God is so good. If anything good comes from me, it's all because he gave it to me. It's all because he allowed me to do this. I want to be so enamored by him that nothing can shake us. To know God's love for you will make you unshakable. The reason love is so important, the reason we have to get this is because we're going to relate together. You're not meant to do life alone. You're not meant to be isolated and separated and away from people. You're meant to be in groups of people doing life together. We have these groups, and you can put that slide up for groups. Every time I'm in a group, and the more I'm in groups, the more I know God, the more I understand his love for me, the more I understand and love his people. Groups are a way we do life together Monday through Saturday, in addition to Sunday. We read the Bible together, we pray together, we share concerns, highs and lows, we just do life together. Sometimes we go eat wings together. It's a glorious thing. Right? It's called doing life together. Jesus did it. Jesus had a small group of people. He went and did life with his disciples. What a great example for us to follow. If you're feeling lonely or you're isolated, you don't feel like you have friends, get to a group. Sign up for a group. Find friends, make friends, start to connect with people. Not only will you connect on a human level, but you'll start to see a bigger, better picture of God. Of who God really is and what he's intended for you and for your life. Jared mentioned it earlier today, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's a belief, it's a understanding and knowing God, who he is in a relationship. God's not a subject to be studied as much as he's a person to be known. He wants a relationship with each one of us. And he wants us to be in relationship with each other. That's how he intended us to do life. Jesus came, lived a perfect life. He lived a life as an example to us to try to follow. We can't be perfect, but we can try to be more like him. Our goal is to be more like Jesus. He died a horrible, gruesome death on the cross. He did it joyfully and willingly because he knew that that was the only way that we could ever get to heaven. How many of you want to go to heaven someday? Most of us. We all should want to go to heaven. If we don't want to go to heaven, we don't understand what heaven really is. It's the perfect presence of God for eternity. The alternative is hell, which is a separation of God's presence. It's separated from everything good, everything of light, everything of that is good in this world. We're separated from all of that because we're separated from God. I'm not trying to scare you from hell, but man, heaven's a lot better than hell. I can't even put it into English words how much better heaven's going to be. And I want you to be there. I want you to say yes to Jesus. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Because God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins. If we believe that, not just acknowledge that, but believe it, to say he died for my sin. He made a way for me to go to heaven. And God, I want to live my life as a thank you to you. Now you're going to have eternal life because of what God did for you. You can begin a relationship. Doesn't matter how many times you've been in church. If you want to begin a relationship, you can begin today. You can say yes to God. You can say yes to that relationship. And from this day forward, your entire life's going to be better. Your entire life's going to change because it's not just a self-help thing. It's an eternal help thing. If you want Jesus to become the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, he paid for everything. You're going to now have eternal life because of that. I'm going to pray. I want us all to close our eyes, bow our heads. We're all going to pray. You can listen to me as I pray. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to that, to this prayer. And just listen along. And if you want to say this prayer, you can say it with me. Say, Father God, I've sinned against you. I've fallen short of what you've called me to do in my life. God, I know I haven't lived a perfect life. God, I've done things that are displeasing to you. God, things that you weren't happy that I did or that were done to me. But God, I believe that you came and died on the cross, that you made a way that all that stuff could be paid for. All my sins, the worst of the worst, God, that you came and made a way for them to be wiped clean. And Jesus, I thank you that you lived a perfect life. Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross and that you didn't just stay buried in the tomb, but you rose again, proving that you are God, that you conquered sin and the grave, and you made a way for us to all go to heaven. Jesus, I thank you. I receive that payment for my sin, and I say yes to following you, to having a relationship with you. If you prayed that prayer, you say yes to that prayer, I'm inviting you just to slip up your hand. Say, yes, that's me. I want that relationship with God the Father. Anybody else? Thank you. I see that. Anybody else? Thank you. Don't miss this opportunity. Say yes to God. See those hands. Thank you. Anybody else? Well, let's pray one more time. Father God, thank you, God, that you're drawing us closer to you. God, that we'd be so enamored by your love, God, for what you've done for us and for who you are. God, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I can yell. Oh, no, I won't yell. That's okay. I won't need to yell. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Eric, for the work. We give God a hand. Give you a hand for the work. We appreciate that. Thank you. Amen. Amen. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing we get to worship God in so many ways and live for him and partner with him and have a relationship with him. And, you know, continuing on in our worship experience, we're going to have a time just receive our tithes and offerings. Thank you so much, Lucas. I need a friend in my life to help me remember stuff when I forget. So thank you very much. Yeah, we're going to continue our worship experience by the receiving of our tithes and offerings. And, you know, it's really awesome. I've been really, really chewing on this week, like the heart motives for me, as I kind of mentioned earlier, like, why do I do what I do? You know, why do I give? Why do I trust God with my finances? And what is the motive behind it? You know, I got to be honest with you. There are definitely times like I can give without loving, without like an act of love in my heart towards God. I just can't. It's totally possible for me to do it without love as my motive. However, I do also believe this. I believe that it is impossible to truly be loving without giving of myself in some way, whether it be just giving my attention, my time, or even in this case of worship, loving God by trusting Him financially and giving financially to sow into what He's doing to build His kingdom and to love people in this area. And it's so awesome. It's funny. I was reminded a couple weeks back. I love giving. I really do. Like when I'm excited to give. And I got my wife a really corny, cheesy t-shirt a couple weeks back. Custom made, actually. I had it custom made. It was an inside joke. And I just had so much joy and so much love in my heart as I'm sitting there in the Monroeville Mall in this custom t-shirt store, and they're making this cheesy shirt. And then I get it, and I go home, and I give it to her. And I was just so excited to give it to her. My heart's so full of love. And quite honestly, she just bursted out laughing. She thought it was the funniest thing. I was like, oh, I was really hoping you think this is sweet. But she thought it was really funny. So that was a win for me, though. That was a huge win. But I tell you what made that so much fun, what made that so much like more powerful than me just going to get a shirt was like the love I had in my heart the entire time I was there and the entire time I'm waiting for this shirt to be done. And you know, this morning as we prepare our hearts to give, I pray above all that we would have a love and a joy and excitement in our hearts to trust God in this act of giving, and that He would be able to do so much more with some of our finances given to Him than we ever could do with all of our finances holding on to it. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? There are several ways to give this morning. Cash or check, there is a basket in the back on a table. If you have a card, there is a kiosk, a connection point in the hallway. Of course, you can give online at bridgecitypgh.com or text to give. But let us refresh our hearts and our heart focus to give all of our lives out of the overflow of love. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much. We thank You for Your love for us, for Your sacrifice. We thank You that You gave Your one and only Son because You loved us. So God, we just give back to You what everything out of the overflow of Your love and everything You've done for us, God, we just give back to You this morning. And Lord, I pray just a blessing upon each and every person, Lord, that You would fill their hearts with just love and joy and excitement as we give not only of our finances to You in this time, but also of our attention, of our time, of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, hey, you know what? If you're new here this morning, thank you so much for choosing to spend part of your Sunday with us. We're so happy you made it out. When you came in, you should have received a welcome guide. It looks just like this. But inside this welcome guide that you would have been handed, there is a connection card. If you'd be so kind just to fill out this connection card, drop it off back at the corner of Connection Point. We actually have a gift that we want to give you just as our way of saying thank you. The connection card does help us keep you up to date of events and different things happening here at Bridge City Church and how you can be a part. You know, actually speaking of being a part, if you would like to become more of an active and growing part of Bridge City Church, we have our Next Steps class right after the worship experience today out the hallway to the left in room 102. And really, this class is just about 45 minutes, and it's designed to help you learn more about the church, who we are, what we believe, why God put us here. And it's also designed to help you understand your gifting and how you can make a difference. So I invite you and encourage you to come on out to our Next Steps class today, immediately following the worship experience for just about 45 minutes. We would so look forward and love to have you spend some extra time with us this morning. And you know what? Where are my guys at in this room? Gentlemen, got some representation. We actually have an awesome opportunity and event coming up still. There are a few spots left to sign up for our Victory and Freedom Weekend, February 18th. I encourage you, get to Connection Point, get signed up. All the campuses are saying the same exact thing I'm saying right now. So these spots are going to fill up quick. You're going to want to get signed up as soon as possible. You would never, ever regret spending time with us on that Saturday. And you know, last but certainly not least, and really I love it, and this topic of love and then this topic of just growing in God's love, we actually have a conference coming up in March that is totally designed to help you grow in the foundation of love in your marriage at our XO Marriage Conference. It'll be taking place on March 11th. It's at our North Braddock campus, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It is $20 per person. Sign up right now. $10 actually for childcare that day as well. But it's amazing. We actually do have a guest speaker with us, Matt Lauer from, how you say it? Dare to be different. Matt Lauer is going to be a guest speaker at this conference. I couldn't pronounce his last name. But I'm so super, super excited. I don't know if you ever listened to Dare to be Different show. He has a lot of awesome content out there, a lot of great advice and just wisdom to sow into us. He's going to be our guest speaker that day. A couple years back, my wife and I actually went to the EXO Marriage Conference, and we were actually engaged at that time. But I remember that day so vividly. It was the first time we actually prayed together as a couple. It was such a refreshing time. There are many tracks and different teachings and speakers that will help you really grow in the foundation of love in your marriage and help you flourish. You're not going to want to miss this. Get signed up as soon as possible. There is an early bird sign up that is cheaper right now until about February 25th, I believe, or 27th. Somewhere around there. Get signed up today. I'm super, super excited. Pastor Eric, you can come on back up. We got some amazing things coming up here in a minute.
One last thing we're going to do before we dismiss. We're actually going to have all the group leaders and apprentices make your way up front. We believe in praying for and setting in all the group leaders. So if you could just line up right along the front of the stage and all along the side. I'm going to pray. Then we're going to all be dismissed to sign up for groups. And I heard there's snacks out in the hallway too. So you don't want to miss out on the snacks. The group leaders, apprentices, make your way up. And also, I just want to throw this out there. If you ever think you could lead a group or you'd be interested in leading a group someday, doesn't mean you're doing anything right away. Other than if you say, I think I could lead a group or I want to find out more, I'm inviting you to come up here as well. And you can come stand, join, jump in, squeeze in anywhere. If there's anybody that says, I could lead a group or maybe I could lead a group, I want to find out more. Anybody want to jump in? Come on up. Come on up. So what group leaders do is they provide those four things we just talked about. Perspective, they challenge, they encourage, and they help people take their next step. This is the pastoral care of our church. Pastor Rick and I can't care for hundreds of people on our own. It takes a team of people to care and love and lead the people of God's church. So let's give them a hand. There's also our coaches that help with the hope with the pastoral care of the group leaders. But I'm just going to pray a blessing on them. If you join me in prayer, we believe in participating, not just listening to me pray, but let's pray for them. Let's pray for this semester of groups to be the best one ever. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you for these group leaders, God. I thank you for each and every one of them and the apprentices, God, that they're saying yes to you, God, less to leading your people, to caring for your people, to loving on your people, God, to demonstrate your love in and through them this semester. God, I pray for an increase in grace and anointing upon them. God, fill them afresh with your spirit to love people even through the hard times, especially through the hard times, through challenging times. God, I pray a release of your spirit upon them. God, impart to them the grace and the anointing that's going to be required to care and love and lead your people. God, this is your church. These are your people. They're not our own. God, so I pray for this semester that we'd see salvations take place. God, we'd see healings take place. God, we'd see people's relationships restored for your good and for your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give them one more hand. Now, group leaders, you got your clipboards. You can make your way to your signs. They're going to stand at their signs all around the room. The men's groups are over here. The ladies groups are mostly on this side. There's some co-ed groups in the back. And I'm going to ask everyone to actually just to stand. And then you're actually dismissed at this time to get signed up. What you do is you just walk up to somebody and say, hey, what's your group about? Tell me what I need to do, what I need to bring. You can go to get signed up for a group, then get some snacks in the back. Have a great week. We love you.